Amen. Well, good morning. Can everyone hear me? Yeah, everyone hear me even out on the boats? Okay, good. Well, good morning. My name is Terrence Gilstra. I'm the pastor planter at The Table in downtown Thorold. I grew up right here in Niagara, so it's good to be here with you this morning. I don't know if you know this or not, but we are all part of a story. We're all part of an amazing story, and I don't know whether you've been a Christian your whole life, or you're just growing in your faith, or maybe you don't even know what it means to be a Christian. Maybe you ended up here on the beach because you got lost and turned left, and you just started following some people with chairs, and you're like, I don't even know who this God is. You're part of a story. We're all part of an amazing story of God, how God created the heavens and the earth. He created this place where we are, where we're gathered here together. And God is bringing us as his people along on this amazing story, involving us in that. And this morning, you're going to hear a little bit about my story, about the story of The Table, and the story of what God is doing in downtown Thorold. But we're going to be looking at through the lens of the story of God in the Bible. So right from the beginning of time, right up to the time of Jesus Christ, when Jesus comes in the world, there was a writer, his name is John, and he says in John 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. So there's this amazing story that's happening right from the beginning. And then the Word, God, becomes flesh and blood and moves into the story, into the neighborhood. And we're going to be looking this morning and seeing that God is inviting us to be part of that story. So my wife, Karen, and I, we have four kids. We live in downtown Thorold. We've lived there for about 10 years, and we just love that community. It's so amazing to be part of it there. And we live specifically in downtown Thorold. And there's a lot of challenges in the place where we do ministry. So one in four people in downtown Thorold struggle in poverty in some way, whether it's addiction, lack of food or clothing or housing. And in fact, in downtown Thorold, there's about 900 people who are in a core housing need. So they have this deep need for housing so that they can live in some way. And as we'll see, that God is working in downtown Thorold, and he's working in the lives of these people. So eight years ago, our family, along with a handful of Christians, we started to serve in downtown Thorold, and we set out to engage the challenges that exist in our community. So what we started doing is we started hosting community dinners right in an inner city school in downtown Thorold. And the way that came about is we had a conversation with a principal of an elementary public school right in the inner city, and we asked him, what is one of the greatest needs here in downtown Thorold? And without even blinking, he said, the greatest need is a sense of community. There's just this lack of community in downtown Thorold. So we said, well, let's host some community dinners to cultivate the sense of community. And in fact, we've seen examples of this lack of community. So at this inner city school, there's this long fence that leads up to the school. And what the parents would come to drop off their kids in the morning. And we've seen and heard stories of parents getting into fist fights and arguments when they drop their kindergartners off at school. And we've seen situations of addiction and pain and poverty in our community. And as a community, this handful of people, we started to pray. We started to pray saying, God, how are you inviting us to serve in this place and to be the light of Jesus in the midst of these challenges? So we started hosting these community dinners. And by the end of the first year, we had about 30 people coming out on a regular basis, people who in large part didn't have an exposure to faith. They didn't know who God was. They didn't know the story of the Bible. And we started to meet them and get to know them. After 3 years, we had anywhere between 50 to 60 people coming out at every one of these meals. And on Thanksgiving, Easter, Christmas, we would have 100 people come out. And we'd just seen God move into the neighborhood and start to transform lives. One of the early stories is we met this young couple, and we kind of got to know them, and we invited them to one of the Bible studies we had as Christians, and they started to move closer to God, and they ended up giving their lives to Christ. And both this couple and their two young children were baptized, and their life began to become transformed. And it's interesting because we've been serving in this downtown community, in this school, as one of the places where we serve, and as well as other places. But over time, we've just seen God transform and move in and just change our community in amazing ways. And get this. It's been 8 years now since I had a conversation with the first principal. We had a conversation, and he said that there's a need for community. Well, just this spring, I was at a track and field event at the school. Our kids go to this school. And I was talking with the principal. He had been there for 2 years. He was just on his way out to go to another school. He had been a principal in the school system for 25 years, been at this school for 2 years. And I just said, thank you so much for the way that you've served in this school. And then he looked back at me and said, you know what? In my 25 years of teaching, I've never experienced a school with a deeper sense of community than this. Why would he say that? Well, because when the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, something happened. When Jesus Christ moves into a neighborhood, something happens. There's another man that we had an opportunity to meet at one of these community dinners, and Jesus moved into his life and transformed him. So we would have these community dinners. As we're cultivating community, we'd put out some food as a Christian community, and we'd invite families to come in. And there was this one man, his name was Trigger, and he would stand off on the distance by the fence, and he would send in his kids to get some food and then bring like a hamburger back out to him. And I noticed Trigger standing off the fence, so I went to introduce myself to him. I said, hi, I'm Terrence, nice to meet you. And he just stared back at me with this evil scowl on his face. He didn't even say anything to me. I said, okay, nice to meet you, and just kind of walked away. And the following weeks, I went and talked to him again, and slowly he began to warm up and started coming a little bit closer to the building where we were meeting and having this food. And eventually he came in, and we kind of got to know him, and I started going out to coffee with Trigger every week, and I started to hear about Trigger's story. I started by saying we all are part of a story, and we all have a story. We all have a story, and Trigger had a story. He had been in and out of jail his whole life. Right from when he was young, 18 years old, he was in jail. In and out. Crime. He had been part of the Hell's Angels. He had been addicted to drugs, crystal meth. He had a couple children along the way and had a horrible time raising his children, struggling with addiction. At the point where he was in his lowest, he was actually homeless, living on a park bench in a park right behind the school. And we had an opportunity as a faith community to come around him, show him love. And the beautiful thing about the story is that Trigger came to know saving faith in Jesus, and his life is transformed. Why did that happen? Because when the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, as it says in our text, something happens. Trigger's life was completely transformed in the name of Jesus. And that gives hope. That gives hope for all of us that our lives can be transformed in the name of Jesus. So we have this guy Trigger, and he gets involved in the community. And get this. 7-8 years later, now he is actually on our leadership team at the table, and he leads his own community, and he's connecting with other people just like him who are staring back at him. And he's like, that's kind of how it was for you, wasn't it? He's like, I talked to this guy, and he just stares back at me and doesn't even want to talk to me. I'm like, yep, that was you, Trigger. And so this amazing story of how God transformed his life. And it all comes from this place where God moves into our lives. He moved into Trigger's life. He moved into these young couple's life, moved into the school, and transformed this place. Quickly, there's a couple other things that we've been doing in downtown Thorold. We've been serving in the inner city school. We've been volunteering. We've been involved in all different ways. We have a retired woman who goes and reads in the school to children, and every week she goes there and prays, and my wife serves on food in the school every week. I go volunteer every Friday. I get to know kids, get to know young people. A couple young kids struggling in their home situation with anger, and just bit by bit, as a community, as God has called us to move into the neighborhood, we've just seen people's lives transformed. And there's so much more to do. There's generations of things to do, but we're seeing God work. When the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, something happened. Even in that day, way back when John wrote in John 1:14, in that time, in the time of Jesus, when the Word, the God of the story, he moved into the person of Jesus. And then Jesus lived this life. And like I said, maybe you ended up here and you don't know anything about the story of Jesus. God moved into the person of Jesus. And he dwelled in the neighborhood. You remember the old King James Version? It says that God moved in and tabernacled among his people. He tabernacled in. And if you know that the text in Exodus 30, it talks about the way that God tabernacled with his people. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It filled the place where Israel gathered on the side of Mount Sinai. That God's glory filled that place. And it's exactly what John is talking about when he writes in John 1:14, the Word moved in and tabernacled in Jesus, and the glory of God was in the person of Jesus Christ. And when we come to know the saving faith of Jesus, God's glory comes and tabernacles among us, in us. God's glory fills us. It fills every single part of us. And as we serve as churches and as communities, as we do this thing called church on the beach or whatever it is in our neighborhood, God fills those places with his glory through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about an analogy. I was thinking, what's a helpful analogy to help us think about what it means to be filled with God's glory when it talks about God moving in to the neighborhood and dwelling with his people. I was thinking about this text, and on Monday, I was working in the backyard, and if you're anything like me, there's this back patio, and between all the cracks is full of weeds. It's full of weeds, and I was working in the back patio, and I'm pulling out this weeds, and actually my friend Trigger was there, and he was pulling some weeds out, and then the next day I went to the hardware store, and I got this bag of, it's called sweepable sand, and what you do is you pour it on the patio, and the sand, just like this sand, you put a large quantity on the patio, and the sand fills all the cracks, and you sweep it in, and you can actually watch, there's little funnels that build where the sand goes deep down and all into the nooks and crannies and just fills this place. And when John writes about the Word becoming flesh and moving to the neighborhood, I think it's a helpful image that God comes and fills every single part of the person of Jesus. And he fills every part of you. He wants to fill you from your head to your toes. No, 1 Peter says we're merged together with the divine. Galatians says we're animated and motivated by the Spirit of God. Ephesians says that because we are part of this story and because the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, it says that now through the church, that's you, the manifold wisdom of God is made known in the world. He's filling you and using you and us to be his light. And listen to this, so that we can move into our neighborhood the same way that the glory of God moved into the person of Jesus. So through Jesus in us, we go out and be present in our neighborhoods. And I got to share for a minute why that's important. It's important that we move into our neighborhoods and be the presence of Jesus. It's important because as a church, I don't think we've had to think about this much, about what it means to move into our neighborhood. Because in large part, in our North American history, we're largely a Christian nation. You know, let's go back 60 years ago, where 80 to 90% of the people in our nation, whether Canada or U.S., are largely Christian or have some exposure to the gospel. So there's not this real deep sense of, you know, the need to go and share the love of Jesus with our neighbors. In fact, what we would do as churches is we would send missionaries overseas because we'd just didn't know what to do other than that. But, you know, in 2022, we live in a completely different world. You know, for the first time ever in the history of our nation, first time ever, there is a desperate need for our neighbors to hear the love of Jesus, for us to be the presence of Christ and move into the neighborhood so that others can experience his love. And in fact, statistically, at least here in Canada, I don't know what it's like in the U.S., maybe not too far off, it's actually about 20% of Canadians identify as Christians and attend church on a regular basis. That means it's flipped. That means 80% of people on our streets and our community and at work and wherever that is, they don't know the love of Jesus. So this text takes on entirely new meaning at this point in our story in 2022. It takes on amazing new meaning where the Word becomes flesh and moves into the neighborhood in the person of Jesus Christ and then moves into us like sand filling the cracks. And then he's inviting us to participate in his loving presence in our neighborhoods as we see God transform our streets. And I shared a couple of stories about how we've seen God transform our community, like in the story of Trigger and in the school and in downtown and in other places in people's lives. And God is transforming me. And I hope and I pray that God would continue to transform me by his Holy Spirit. But I want to leave you with this story just to help you think practically what it might look like to dwell in your own neighborhood. So, Trigger becomes a Christian, starts to figure it out. And he's living in an apartment right in downtown Thorold. And there's this guy that walks up and down the stairs into the apartment building every day. And Trigger says to him, "Good morning." And the guy completely ignores him, doesn't say anything. And then the next day, Trigger says to him again, "Good morning." And it went on for like that for a little while where he just stares back again with this evil scowl on his face. And eventually, Trigger has an opportunity to meet this guy, and his name is Sully. And through the pandemic, Sully had actually been living like a hermit. He was 22 years old, just a young person, living in an upstairs apartment, wasn't really coming out much other than to come out and have a smoke down the stairs. And then Trigger had an opportunity to meet him and invite him over for a meal. And Sully came. And they had a meal together. And they hung out, and they kind of became friends, just like me and Trigger years ago. And then Trigger has an opportunity to share his faith in Jesus with Sully. And his life is transformed. He comes to know faith, and we have an opportunity to baptize him in the name of Jesus, and his life is being transformed. But get this, that's not the end of the story. Sully has been living through all kinds of challenges, including not having parents active in his life and being in isolation, and then he comes to know Christ, and he's trying to figure out this new life. And at the same time that this is all happening, my wife Karen and I have an opportunity to meet a young lady, and her name is Olivia, and we kind of get to know her. So we met her through some friends, and she lives right downtown Thorold in a big apartment building. We got to know her, and we were able to share the gospel of Christ with her, and God is transforming her, and she comes to know faith, and she's baptized at the table. So now we have two young people, 22 years old, a young man, a young woman. This woman, Olivia, had a two-year-old son because the father had died of a drug overdose. So she's single-momming it, struggling at every corner, comes to know saving faith in Jesus. I bet you can guess what happened. The two meet. I had the pleasure of marrying them last summer. And God is transforming their life in the name of Jesus. And I'll close on this. Why does this happen? Because when the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood in the person of Jesus Christ, he moves into our lives and transforms people's life like mine, like Trigger, like Sully, like Olivia. And now they have this little son who's learning the ways of Jesus as he grows up. And they're expecting another child. And our community is being transformed. And just let me leave you with this thought. How does God want to use you as Jesus lives in you to transform your neighborhood? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you so much that we are part of your story. From the beginning of creation, you made us. And then there's this fallen situation where we're broken and sinful, and brokenness comes into our world, and we're just in need of rescue. And then you come in the person of Jesus in that moment. And John writes, the Word becomes flesh and moves into our separate situation, the tabernacles among us, so that we can be set free from our sin and our pain. And God, I just want to pray if there's anyone here who is listening, whether it be up in the cottage, hiding in a corner, or out in the boat, or just made the wrong left turn here, that they would say, yeah, I want to open my life to Jesus Christ and be part of this story. And I want to see God transform my life in the same way the stories that I've heard today. And God, if there's mature Christians here who have been Christian their whole life, I heard a theologian say this week, dear God, that there's three conversions in our life. We come to know saving faith in Jesus, and then we're converted to community, and then we're converted to mission, where we live out what it means to make you known on our street so that we can see transformation. And God, I just pray for the Christian here, that by your Spirit, you would inspire us, you would animate and motivate us to be your presence in the places where we are present. And we pray this in the name of the resurrected Jesus. Amen.